Good evening. Brother Ken requests that we read from Genesis 1, verses 20 to verse 31. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let's just hold that verse there in our minds a little bit. When we're done, I'd like to make a comment or two on that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed, so that ye shall have, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw that everything he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I don't know what part of this Brother Ken plans to speak on tonight, and I asked him if I could just comment a little bit. I don't want to take anything from his message, but I happened to recently read an article in the Lancaster Farmer, and it don't normally catch my eye, but it was an editorial, and it was from a lady that was concerned about the way animals were being treated. And I mean, we're all aware of how we are worshiping the created instead of the creator. But several things have come to my attention lately. My daughter being in public school, one of the things a public school requires children to do is watch a 10-minute news clip every day, and every now and then she likes me to watch that with her. And almost without fail, they push something in there on how we take care of animals and that kind of thing. Recently, there was a thing about how in Ukraine they're taking care of the animals because of the war. And I was just thinking, well, and it showed them taking care of a snake, and I just thought, how distorted can we get? But this particular article in Lancaster Farmer, a lady was attacking how we shouldn't eat anything that comes from animals, because if you eat eggs, they don't want the roosters. And her story was that they grind the roosters up for dog food. Whatever, that doesn't matter. But what I really appreciated was the fact that a man replied from Chambersburg, don't know who he was, and his point was, and he never attacked the lady, but the way he handled it I thought was very great. He said, "You know," he said, "what we're saying is the oldest sin known to man. Satan said, 'God, I don't need you. I want to be greater than you.'" And he said, "And that is what we're saying when we say that, 'God, we can take care of the earth. We can take care of the animals,' instead of 'God gave them for us to use.'" And I thought he laid it out very nice, and it just, you know, that's what it is. It is sin. God, we are greater than you. We don't need you to tell us how to handle the earth. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, it surely does show that with his help, he gave us dominion over the many things that he's given us. Not to abuse, but to use. And I just, when I see the brainwashing that they're pushing in the public school system, it just amazed me. So that was just some of my thoughts. Let's, all who are able, kneel for prayer.
The title of the message this evening is Animals Obeying Their Creator. Thank you, Clay, for your opening comments and prayer. And I know that others have prayed for the service this evening. I was struck Friday evening when at council someone mentioned there are 80 children in this congregation. And that is a blessing beyond compare. And so you might say the message this evening is more on a child's level than an adult level. Have you ever noticed how often animals are mentioned in the Bible? It's important to note that God values the creatures he has created and has given to man, as was already mentioned, the responsibility to manage and care for the animal kingdom. One statement that really stood out to me is that they were given to use and not abuse. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so what are some verses that point to God's concern about the animals? I picked out a few. I'd like to read them. You can follow after. Psalm 147:9, "He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry." Deuteronomy 25:4, actually a command for the benefit of the ox. "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn." Luke 12:6, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" Job 38:41, "Who provideth for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for a lack of meat." Psalm 104:21, "The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God." Jonah 4:11, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand?" And I'm assuming that speaks of children. And then he adds, "and also much cattle." Matthew 6:26, "Behold," or "look at, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Proverbs 12:10, A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Even at their best, those that abuse animals, the Bible says here, are cruel. Scripture records accounts of God using specific animals to carry out his purposes. Such is the resourcefulness of our God, who is able to use everything in his creation to further his redemptive plan and to display his glory. I picked out 7. Obviously, we're not going to spend much time on each, but these are examples of how God used creatures from the animal kingdom. You might be thinking of some right now. First one is Jonah and the whale. The story of Jonah and the whale is the one of the most well-known in the Bible. When Jonah refused to obey God and even ran from what God was calling him to do, God used a whale to set Jonah back on the right track. Jonah 1:17 reads, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah's place of repentance and rededication to God's mission ended up being in the belly of that huge fish. And one of the lessons we can claim from this account is God certainly is merciful. Jonah resisted God's direction, but despite his disobedience, God in his mercy provided a whale to reroute Jonah, and he still used Jonah to advance his purposes. The Lord still works his purposes today, sometimes, despite our prideful and unwilling hearts. Second example, Elijah and the ravens. The prophet Elijah was sent to deliver a prophecy to the wicked King Ahab and his queen Jezebel. God said that there would be no dew or rain on the land for the next 3.5 years. Then God instructed Elijah to go by a brook. We find that in 1 Kings 17, 3 and 4. "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Animals obeying their creator. A drought ravaged a disobedient nation, but God saw Elijah's faithfulness in proclaiming his word and ensured that ravens would bring food to meet his needs. And then later, a widow providing him food. Put yourself in Elijah's place. When you have a word from the Lord and you share that counsel with love and good intent, how do you feel when you advise someone in good faith only to have your words rejected? it brought Elijah down. But you know, God has a plan for your life. Maybe not like Elijah's story, but nonetheless, He works all things for good. Third animal we'd like to look at are the lions. Daniel and the lions. That's a well-known Bible account. Daniel, an Israelite who is in exile in Babylon, remains true to his faith, even when the king is requested to make a decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days except the king shall be cast into the den of lions. When Daniel knew that writing was signed, what did he do? He could have prayed, but in a different place. Wouldn't have that got the job done? He went into his house, and his windows being open, he didn't close the blinds if they had them. In his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Well, we know the story. Because of that, the king couldn't go back on his word, and Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, which, humanly speaking, meant certain death. But God intervened, and instead of attacking him, the lions did not hurt him one bit. And upon inquiry, Daniel said to the king, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Daniel 6:22. God is our protector. Jealous men took the opportunity to deliver Daniel to the lion's den. But God knew where Daniel's allegiance lay in his power. And God rescued and delivered him unharmed. In the face of evil, accusation, and even persecution, are we willing to hold on to the trustworthiness of God, despite how He responds? Would you and I be willing to stand up for what is right, even if no one else would? Number 4, Balaam and the donkey. The book of Numbers tells the story of Balaam and his donkey. The king of Moab, an enemy of Israel, sent for Balaam so that he could curse the Israelites. But as Balaam was on the way to meet the king of Moab, God sent his angel to block the path. Balaam's donkey refused to move because the donkey could see the angel, but the hard-hearted Balaam could not. Balaam resorted to beating his donkey in an effort to make him move. But the donkey wouldn't budge. Then God did an amazing thing. He gave the donkey power of speech. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and that donkey said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these 3 times. That account's found in Numbers 22. Verse 28. And then finally, Balaam's eyes were opened, and he saw the angel of the Lord. Obviously, Balaam's heart was not right with God. He was stubborn, persistent, and yet God continued to pursue him, even to the point of speaking through a donkey to get his attention. Could have struck him dead, but he chose this avenue through the animal kingdom. The Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and the story of Balaam's donkey shows how God is able to use even the humblest animal for his purpose. Well, we're going to go to the water next and talk about Peter and the fish. Tribute money collectors wanted to bait Jesus, but he anticipated it and miraculously intervened. Jesus gave Peter instructions. The first fish that Peter caught, there would be in that fish's mouth the exact amount of tax to cover both of them. Matthew 17, verse 27 says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. There seems to be an element here that they may not have had to pay this. But nonetheless, Jesus gave the command, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. God is our provider. He promises to meet all our needs. We don't have to worry. We can trust him. We may not find money in a fish's mouth, but God has some amazing ways of supplying money through other avenues. Number 6, Abraham and the ram. Abraham was given a challenging order to sacrifice his son, Isaac, but God foreknew his obedience and Abraham's trust in him and provided a ram in place of his son. Abraham was given a promise. And the only way that promise was going to be fulfilled was through Isaac. Abraham did not forget that promise. And yet he was willing to obey the command to sacrifice his son. How did Abraham reconcile that in his mind? Very possibly, Abraham could have thought, well, God can raise him from the dead. I don't know. But when that ram appeared, after Abraham was stopped midair with that knife to sacrifice his son, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Genesis 22:13. What is the one thing we find difficult to sacrifice to God? There may be times that we think the sacrifice is too much to give. But you know, the reward is always greater than the sacrifice. Number 7, Elisha and the bears. Although this story is a difficult one for some to understand, it does highlight the importance of listening to God's word, or in this case, God's prophet. In this story, Elisha the prophet, who came after Elijah, is making his way to Bethel when a group of youths, I think the King James Version says little children, many commentators feel that they were of teenage. And what did these youths start doing? They mocked him. 2 Kings chapter 2, 22, 23, and 24, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And I might note there that word curse doesn't necessarily mean swear words. It means to pronounce something that God told him that was going to be against those youth. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. 42 young people lost their lives because they mocked God. Bethel was known at the time for its immersion in idolatry, and God certainly was showing by this shocking incident that such blatant disregard of God and His prophet would not be permitted without consequence. Mockery of God and His messengers is dangerous and will not go unpunished, if not in this life, in the life to come, unless there is restitution. Not all examples. That was seven. We could go on, but I'd like to share a few stories beyond what the Bible tells us, because not all examples of God using animals to accomplish His purposes are found in the Bible or in ancient times. There are modern day instances of animals created by God being used of Him. I'd like to share two examples. The first one I shared previously in the message, but it fits well here. It was in 2002, sometime around there, a full-grown chocolate lab showed up at our place in the country. With small children in our home at that time, we were somewhat cautious about leaving them outside. Never having a pet dog at our place, we were amazed at how our youngest daughter, Jerusha, had no fear of this big brown dog that was larger than she was. Both dog and girl enjoyed romping together in the backyard. At first, we kept close surveillance, but then it was easy to know that she was protected. At first, I tried to send that dog away with the command, go home. And he would literally run to the end of the driveway and then along the road westward. And then after a short distance, he would give up, come back. We didn't feed the dog, hoping it would move on, but that didn't work either, because he started knocking down corn stalks to eat the ears. And that's when I had mercy. Bought some dog food. It soon became apparent we would have that dog at our place indefinitely, unless we found or made an effort to find the owner. The dog did not have any tags, but obviously was well trained, and most likely someone was missing their pet. I contacted the SPCA hoping for a connection. And meanwhile, during the dog's stay at our house, some events took place that may have been significant. We're not sure. But one day, a pickup truck drove up our driveway, and not knowing the driver, my wife was reluctant to leave the house. The dog was barking, and the man remained in the truck. Obviously, he was afraid of the dog. And during a brief conversation from the truck to the front screen door, he offered his services to blacktop the driveway and then drove away. Also, one night I was awakened by the persistent barking of that dog. And I got up to investigate it, and it sounded like the dog was chasing something, or maybe even someone, away from the house. Not long after that, the SPCA called and told me there was a lost dog reported, and it matched our description. The potential owner lived near New Oxford, a distance of approximately 6 miles. I called the number the SPCA gave to me and made arrangements for a reunion. As that lady was driving up our driveway, that dog went crazy. There was no doubt whatsoever, his master had just arrived. After discussing the distance traveled, the time the dog went missing, and the details of his stay at our house, the lady told me that her dog never ran off before, and it was totally out of character with his behavior. She then made the following statement. It was like he was on a mission. When I considered how many houses that were along the dog's 6 miles of travel, and the fact that he would have had to come almost directly to our house and remain there, I tended to agree with her. That dog was sent on a mission. Exactly why the beautiful, well-trained lab was directed to our house, I'm not sure. But this I do know. We had the benefit of a watchdog chosen and commissioned by the Creator to guard our property for 5 or 6 days. He was gentle to the children, and yet at the same time, intimidating to strangers. I'm still convinced, even though I don't know why, that there was an unseen purpose behind it all. Another story, present day story, this happened in 2017, about lions that saved Christians from Islamic extremists. There's an account of a pastor and some Christians who were with him being miraculously saved by lions who came out of the jungle and attacked the Islamic extremists who were about ready to kill the Christians. This was reported by the news site Christian Headlines on April 21st, 2017. And this is the account. A pastor who was ministering in the Middle East was reportedly saved by lions who prevented a group of Islamic extremists from attacking him and a group of Christians. Pastor Paul Sinaraj's story seems like a story straight out of the Bible. Pastor Paul detailed the modern day miracle on his ministry's website. Quote, "My risen Lord Jesus Christ has saved my life once again," Pastor Paul wrote, "and I praise and thank him for his unspeakable grace." Before the attack, when the lion saved him, Pastor Paul had been attacked by another group of Islamic extremists. He had escaped and was recovering at the home of a former Muslim who was a Christian convert. The man's home was near a forest area. Pastor Paul led worship services from that home. On Easter Sunday, while a group of believers was gathered, and he was leading one such service, militants came upon them, brandishing weapons. "We had no idea what to do," Pastor Paul recalled. "The group of Christians thought they were all about to die." Just then, a lion appeared out of the forest and began to attack one of the militants. The other two militants tried to fight off the lion, but then two more lions appeared, and the militants ran away in fear, and the lions left Pastor Paul and the group alone. Equally astonishing, Pastor Paul added, records show no lions are supposed to live in that forest. Animals used by God.
Let's kneel for prayer.